Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in studio as we take your questions from all around the world. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information, as always, check it out, write it down. On the web, equip.org, via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Speaking of homosexuality, discussing the issue with kindness and clarity by Joe Dallas, available for those who support the ministry all this month. There isn't a finer resource on the subject on the planet. Again, available for those who support the ministry all this month. I know many of you watched the debate on Monday night. I have not been able to get it out of my head. I think that it is a great example of how our culture is in dramatic freefall. Perhaps the phrase that most stuck out for me was the words of Hillary Clinton when she said, "We are not at war with Islam." I couldn't get those words out of my head. It is true that we are not at war with Muslims. Indeed, we want to reach Muslims, not by sword, but by word. But we are most certainly at war with Islam. Think about equality. Conspicuous by its absence in Islam. And that reality forever enshrined in the inalterable words of Allah, not only that, but in the practices of Muhammad, whom all Muslims, male and female, are bound to follow. Now, no one knows what I'm going to say better than does Hillary Clinton. Allah decrees inequality. It's a decree in Islam. Unlike men, who can have up to four wives, Allah does not afford women the same option. Moreover, while Allah allows a husband to beat his wife, there's obviously no Quranic provision for a wife to beat her husband. And nor can she initiate a divorce. Only men can do so, and that with relative ease. All of that is tragic enough, but imagine being a woman and being referred to as tilth. Again, Hillary Clinton knows this so well. She's obviously familiar with the Quran. She talks about Islam all the time. But think of what Quran 2, 223 says. Your women are a tilth. In other words, your women are a field for you to cultivate, so go to your tilth as ye will. And in a blatant show of inequality, a man has unrestrained access to his wife's body. I think of Reliance of the Traveler. It's a classic manual of Islamic sacred law. So again, Clinton, who understands these things as well or better than anyone on the planet, knows about this, and it leaves little room for leeway. And I quote, "It's obligatory for a woman to let her husband have sex with her immediately unless she is physically unable to endure it. Or as Muhammad proffers, the marriage vow most rightly expected to be obeyed is the husband's right to enjoy the wife's, well, I'm going to not use the vulgar word, I'll just say genitals. And should she refuse, quote, the angels will curse her through the night. Of course, according to Sharia, women, and that includes little girls who are captives of war, can be raped by their Muslim captors. And that according to one of the most trusted sources in Islam of all time. The words are chilling. We are not at war with Islam. And you think about the kinds of things permitted. It is unthinkable to utter those words. I think it's high time for all of us to be familiar with the precepts and principles in Islam. By the way, you don't find anything like that whatsoever in the Bible. You find precisely the opposite. Women have the same ontological equality as do men. Paul put it best in Christ, there's no male or female, there's no slave or free, there's no Jew or Greek. It has nothing to do with your gender or your genealogy and nothing to do with your station in life. If you are in Christ, you are heirs with complete equality, the kind of equality that you do not find in Islam. Well, a lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to our phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up today, Danny listening in Troy, Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Danny.
Hey, thanks for your ministry.
Thank you.
I want to tell you, we've got, my wife and I have five children, ages 1 to 11. We're Baptist, and we homeschool. I work, and she stays at home the old-fashioned way. And we merge scripture into our homeschooling every day. We teach our children the gospel, and my church, I found out recently, doesn't believe in automatic salvation. One of the deacons actually said that an embryo is the same and equal as far as salvation to a man that has never heard the word. They're both lost.
So your question is what, Danny?
Are children automatically saved? And if not, why would I be in a hurry for Jesus to come back until they're ready?
Well, here's the thing about children and even those who do not have the capacity to respond to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What we do is we leave them in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, which is to say we know that God does all things right. So we lost a child, preborn, baby Grace. And we leave Grace in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, and we have no doubt whatsoever that in eternity we will be rushing into her embrace. But we do not want to speak loudly where the Bible is largely silent. Rather, we want to make the theological deduction, which is very, very clear in the whole of Scripture. That theological deduction is quite simply that God is infinitely just and infinitely merciful, and therefore we can entrust to Him our children. And we should never suppose that in any way it is right to snuff out the life of a preborn child, because a preborn child has complete personhood from the moment of conception, not a fully developed personality, but complete personhood from the moment of conception. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Andrea in York, Pennsylvania. She's listening on Sirius XM 131. place she was, and then she disappeared. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to April, listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, April.
Hi, Hank. Hank, I recently moved to a small town, and I went to a church, and I found it very difficult to ascertain from them sort of what their teachings were and what their leanings were. I was relying on the stirring of the Holy Spirit, and I have since left that church. My problem is they were speaking in tongues, and it just didn't seem biblical to me, and I don't know if it's normative that people should be speaking in tongues and that you don't understand anything that they're saying.
Well, no, I think you ought to be able to understand what they're saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is very, very clear on this point, which is to say that if someone is speaking in a tongue and that tongue is interpreted, then that tongue would serve for edification and encouragement and the equipping of the saints. But if it is not interpreted, people will stand on the back of the church, as I'm kind of paraphrasing Paul here, and think that what's going on is mad. So there should be an interpretation. And by the way, I can relate to that, having been in Greece recently and attended a service, and everything was in Greek, and I was there, and I could not understand what was going on unless someone gave me an interpretation. Likewise, I was just at the NextGen conference in Southern California, just got back from there, and they were speaking Arabic for the most part. And fortunately, I had someone translating for me. If I was listening without a translation, it would not have edified me, but boy, was the edification enormous when there was a translation. So again, what you want to have is the translation, because without it, there's no encouragement, there's no equipping. It simply leaves us cold. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to RC, listening in Kansas City, Missouri, KCCV. Hi, RC.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I know that yesterday was Columbus Day, and I'm asking this in the context because it seems like everybody that has anything to do with Christianity is just being torn down. And I don't know if in the next 400-some years if they're going to tear down the Mother Teresa and say that she was bad. So is there any credence to what they're teaching in the schools today about Christopher Columbus being a bad guy and we shouldn't honor or give him any credence or give him any Christian credence as well?
You know, it's really interesting. You know, it's really interesting about all of this is you think about Andrew Dixon White. He was the president and the founder of Cornell University. And he decried the regrettable reality that 200 years after Ferdinand Magellan had empirically proven that the earth was round, Christian fundamentalists, so to speak, persisted in perpetuating flat earth mythology. But none of this really corresponds to reality. What it is the reinterpretation of reality. In fact, the moniker Flat Earth is propaganda, pure and simple. You may well remember exactly where you were when you first heard the tale of Columbus's raw courage in face of mutinous sailors who were supposedly in mortal terror of sailing over the edge of a flat Earth. And what we're largely unfamiliar with is that far from fanatics clinging to flat earth mythology, unanimous scholarly opinion from Augustine to Aquinas pronounced the earth spherical. So the problem here is that we have revisionistic history, and this is being communicated at virtually all levels of education in America today, which leads me to make a point. At the beginning of the broadcast today, I talked about the ballot box, well, not directly, but indirectly at least, which is to say what happens at the ballot box really makes a difference, particularly when it comes to freedom of speech. But what happens at the ballot box may be necessary, but it's insufficient. What is important is for us to realize that our culture is being shaped by educational institutions, by environmental institutions. It is being shaped in all kinds of different ways by entertainment. And so we're, as Christians, not to just curse the darkness, but build a lighthouse. And that means being familiar with the truth regarding Columbus and other historical facts which are being compromised in our culture. And as a result of that, the Bible is being largely rendered irrelevant. My point is, always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll be back in just a few moments with more answers.
When a family member or friend says, "I'm gay," it can be very difficult to hear, but also difficult for the same-sex attracted person to utter. In these heartbreaking situations, having the right response is crucial. Few can navigate these troubled waters like Joe Dallas. In his book, When Homosexuality Hits Home, What to Do When a Loved One Says, "I'm Gay," Joe offers experience and compassionate counsel for those whose loved ones struggle with homosexual desire. Receive your copy of When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Hank Hannah Graf will return in just a few moments. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Black Hebrew Israelite movement has infiltrated black communities on the basis of two principal claims. First, all African Americans biologically descend from the ancient Hebrews. And second, the means of salvation for African Americans is obedience to the law of Moses. Their worldview, however, has no foundation in history or scripture. Other topics include doubt as virtue, how to doubt and have faith without exploding, Francis Schaeffer, pastor, evangelist, apologist, prophet, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
Not long ago, the gay rights movement was asking that homosexual people be treated fairly and with respect. But today, more legitimization is not enough. The gay rights movement now demands, with all the subtlety of a socialist purge, the punishment of anyone objecting to that legitimization. The new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, equips readers to respond to this volatile issue with reason and compassion. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Andrea in York, Pennsylvania. Andrea, I was trying to talk to you, and then all of a sudden you're gone, but I think you're back.
I am. Thank you so much for taking my call, Hank.
You're welcome.
And also, I just want to thank you for educating me on issues such as with the Muslims leaving and the Quran. It prompted me to look up the Quran and the other two books so that I could make a case whenever confronted in that situation. But that's not why I'm calling. The reason why I'm calling is when I got out of work, I tuned in and heard you speaking about the elections and about Hillary Clinton. And I have been so torn because, you know, looking at Isaiah 56:9, I just feel like within the past 16 years and probably longer, our leadership exemplifies the characteristics that are in that piece of scripture, that for leaders that are not responsible, they're just untrustworthy. And while I completely agree with what you are saying with Hillary Clinton, I believe that the same case for different situations can be also made against Donald Trump. And so I'm hearing a lot on television, you know, I know we all want to change. I know we don't want the same 8 years. I know Republicans believe, I believe in life. I believe in the Christian values. However, at the same time, I don't believe that our running mate is truly a Republican who believes in those same core values. I believe he is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and I believe that he can't even help himself from even just displaying that fact. So I could go on and on, but I truly want, I do not know who to vote for. I know I'm supposed to vote. I don't know what to do, and I know you're not at liberty to tell me what to do. However, I would like to hear like a persuasive argument for the other side, just so I can kind of weigh that and pray about it. And thank you for taking my question.
Sure, Andrea. And let me say that I think what you've said is absolutely correct. I have seldom personally been so distraught over an election. The choice seems to hover between horrible and horrific. And what you said about candidates really reflecting the crassness of our culture is absolutely true. The reason I brought up Hillary Clinton was not so much in the sense of the election, but more in the sense of being able to underscore the horrific nature of Islamic law when it comes to women, and the fact that politicians continuously tell us that somehow or other Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. And you hear Clinton and Obama speaking about Islam with soaring rhetoric, and it simply does not fit the facts. And so that was the reason I brought that up. But yeah, I mean, I think that what you have to recognize is that perhaps what is most at issue in this election is the chilling possibility of no longer as Christians having freedom of speech. And I think that looms ominously on the horizon. And I don't think this is conjecture, because even now Clinton is threatening to overthrow Citizens United versus FEC. And that through her appointment of Supreme Court justices, which would chillingly sanction freedom of speech. So there are some really important issues, and I think as a Christian, we have to grapple with the severe situation in which we are. We are in a free fall as a culture. It's reflected by the candidates. I don't want to go through all of the issues here, but I think that when everyone is focused on vulgar and crude statements with respect to sex, we ought to know the vulgar and crude statements that we find in the most trusted of Islamic sources. For example, the more you study the subject of divorce Sharia style, the more a sense of uncleanness has to overwhelm one, because Allah goes so far as to prescribe a husband's responsibilities in divorcing a child who hasn't even had her period. And let me just quote the familiar passage from Quran 65:4. Quote, if you are in doubt concerning those of your wives who have ceased menstruating, know that their waiting period shall be 3 months. The same shall apply to those who have not yet menstruated. In other words, had he wanted to, Muhammad could have divorced Aisha either before or after she began menstruating. I mean, this is a woman or a young girl still with the dolls that he married when she was 6 and consummated the marriage when she was just 9. So I think we have to recognize that, you know, there are some really bad prescriptions for behavior that we find not only in the Quran, but also in the Ahadith and in the most sacred and most trusted Islamic manuals on Sharia law. And that has to be pointed out because I think we're in the midst of a clash of civilizations. And we can't keep saying that Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance, and we're not at war with Islam. This is a huge, huge issue. But you're absolutely right, Andre. I mean, there are many factors to be weighed, and that's the point for all Christians to look at. We have to look at the integrity of our nation in terms of freedom of speech. We have to look at the financial debt that we are now pushing out upon our children and grandchildren. It is a horrendous thing that we are no longer capable of sustaining. It's unsustainable. And so as a culture in freefall, we have to look at those factors, all of these factors, and make a decision. But it is a horrifyingly difficult decision to make for every Christian, for sure.
Hank, I think what I've heard you say, or rather how I'm interpreting everything, is that maybe I shouldn't be looking at the person when I vote, but at the issues at hand and the stance that that particular party will take on those issues and hope that the person part works out. So in other words, don't vote for the person, but vote for the look at the issues at hand and make a decision based on that position. And I agree with you, everything you just said, and I'm so glad that you articulate that in your show. I only wish that you would get on the news. And I wish that this could be just broadcasted.
You know, I used to do a lot of that years ago. I used to do, when Peter Jennings was alive, and I used to do Larry King, and when Hannity was with Hannity and Combs, they had the left and the right. I used to do those shows, and I'm thinking about in the near future starting to do those shows again. But, you know, you have to realize that if you're trying to write books and do all the things I'm trying to do all around the world, it's difficult to do those things as well. But the more I wonder where the people are who are advising Donald Trump. I mean, you think about the fact that here is a man who certainly, by all intents and purposes, was a crass materialist. But many people are telling me now that there are people like Ben Carson praying with him on a regular basis. So, you know, this is the whole hope, and that is redemption. You think about Reagan when he went into office. He was a wild cowboy. I mean, and he became someone who was a revered cultural icon. And so, you know, the thing I'm saying is people can change. But we do have to look at whether our freedoms are going to be maintained or overthrown, and the chilling prospect of them being overthrown, I don't think is hyperbole at this point.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you for answering my questions and my comments, and I hope you have a wonderful evening. Thank you, Hank.
Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kyle in Franklin, Tennessee. Kyle is listening on Bud Radio. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. If I could just, before the question, say one thing about your last call. The one thing that I find hope in is in Donald Trump's running mate Mike Pence and people like Ben Carson that have put themselves around him. There is something there that you can't find on the other side, and that kind of gives me a little bit of peace anyway about the whole thing.
Yes.
But my question is I have two small ones. One of them is on John 9:41, mm-hmm. where Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you see, your guilt remains. And I don't quite understand that.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you are a teacher, you have a great deal more responsibility. You know, James makes that pretty clear, doesn't he? With teaching, there is a greater accountability. So James says, let not many of you be teachers. So this is not to say that no one has responsibility. Everybody has responsibility, but there's a greater responsibility when you're a teacher. In other words, when you have knowledge, when you have information.
And that's what Jesus is talking about there?
Well, I think it applies to this principle, yes. I mean, I don't think that you can take this passage and somehow or other make it to mean that some do not have responsibility. Everybody has responsibility, but we have responsibilities to different degrees. You know, one of the things that I oftentimes quote on the broadcast is the words of Paul when he was at the Areopagus. And he said, from one man God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us, which is to say we all have light. And the question is, are we responding to that light, and we're going to be accountable for how we respond to that light.
I see. And I have one more, Hank.
Sure.
It's really quick. Jesus said that you must do the work while it is day, that the night is coming, and the night is coming when no man can work, John 9:4. And I want to know what that night is, what he's talking about there.
Well, let me answer it on the other side of the break, because I only have 30 seconds before going to break. If you're listening in, you'll get the answer on the other side of the break. I promise to touch that head on. Do remember that you can download CRI's Equip app. Just go to equip.org/app. You can listen, you can learn, you can share. You can listen to live broadcasts as well as archive broadcasts, and read articles from the Christian Research Journal. You can even give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with the answer to that question and a lot more in just a moment.
Few, if any, could have predicted it, yet the moral fabric of our culture is radically changing. What is now increasingly mainstream is a pervasive acceptance of homosexuality that was inconceivable a mere generation ago. And because of the dizzying speed of change, many Christians are ill-prepared to deal with the implications. Joe Dallas offers an informed and caring response in his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. Receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org.
Hank will be back right after the break.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. An experience of intellectual doubt is often taken by Christians to be a sign of weak faith. When treated properly, however, an encounter with doubt is extremely valuable, since it can lead to more knowledge and an even greater faith. Other topics include the origin and insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite movement, philosophy, politics, and the end of liberal arts education, social movements and God's kingdom, which cause matters most, Jephthah's bloodless sacrifice, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Gay-affirming interpretations of the Bible promoted by revisionist Christians, whether heterosexual or openly gay, challenge long-standing Orthodox beliefs about the sinfulness of homosexuality. According to revisionists, the authority of the Bible is not changed, but its message on homosexuality has been mistranslated or misinterpreted. In his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, Joe Dallas addresses the gay Christian phenomenon and its revisionism with the careful attention it requires. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we need many to consider prayerfully supporting CRI by becoming a CRI support team member. You commit to supporting, as a member, the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries around the world with your ongoing support and appreciation. You receive a personalized copy of any one of my books. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. And when you give electronically, it saves you time and postage. You can use a credit card, debit card, or EFT, electronics funds transfer. We were talking to Kyle just before the break about John chapter 9. Recall the words of Jesus there where he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, in response to the Pharisees asking him a question as to whether that man was born sin. I mean, he gave him two bad options. Either it was because his parents sinned or because he sinned. And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So I think here, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ rejects the idea that all the troubles, all the difficulties, sickness, blindness, and so forth are the consequence of personal sin or even the sins of one's parents. Suffering can be a direct result of a person's sin, but that's not always the case. And in this instance, we know from our Lord's words that the man's blindness provided the occasion for the works of God to be revealed. The work that people do consists of their faith, their good deeds, their repentance, but the night is going to come, and that refers to both the time after a person's death and the time of the age to come where there is no longer an opportunity to express faith. And on that day, there will not be faith, but all will submit. Night, I think, therefore, is the limit set to do God's works, just as day means the time allotted to do what, in this context, God sent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to do. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Carrie, listening in Kentucky. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. My question is I've been told two different things. Number one, I've been told that you will know your relatives once you get to heaven. And then I've been told that you will not recognize your relatives when you get to heaven. And I would like to know the answer.
Well, let me say most assuredly, you will recognize your relatives when you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, you're not going to have less knowledge. You're going to have more knowledge. So you will know more than you know right now. And you will not only know them in the sense of recognizing them, but know them in sense of enjoying relationships with your loved ones in heaven.
So you will know them.
Absolutely, yes. You're not going to have less knowledge. You're going to have more knowledge. Now we see through a glass dimly, then we're going to see, as it were, face to face. We're going to have more knowledge when we get to heaven, and we're going to enjoy not only our relationship with the Lord, but relationships with other people. Now, you don't just recognize someone based on their physical appearance. I know my wife based on more than physicality. I know my wife based on metaphysicality, those things that go beyond physicality is what I probably should have said. I mean, the idea here is that we know people not just by their physical characteristics, but by metaphysical characteristics as well. And when we're resurrected, we're going to be body-soul unities. The body that dies is going to be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The soul or the spirit returns to the body, and we'll be body-soul unities again, and we'll know each other, again, not just by physicality, but beyond the physicality. You think about the physicality, though, I mean, that's going to change. A caterpillar doesn't look a whole lot like a butterfly, but quite frankly, it's the same constituent parts. It's the same. Physically, it's just different organizationally. So the caterpillar doesn't look like a butterfly. The butterfly has wings. The caterpillar does not. The butterfly has a proboscis. The caterpillar does not, and so on.
Correct. I was told by a deacon from church that you will not know your relatives.
Well, you know, what you should always do in this case is not trust me or the deacon in church. What you ought to do is test what I say in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. And I think that there are a couple of things here. One is you can make a theological deduction, and two, I think that you can look at passages that underscore the point that I just made. By the way, I make this point in a whole lot more detail in a book called Afterlife.
I completely just misunderstood what you said. Say it again.
Okay, so what I said is that you shouldn't trust an electronic voice or a deacon. You should test the electronic voice. I'm talking about myself. I'm on a microphone right now. And you should test the deacon in light of what the Scripture says. And the Scripture as a whole gives you an idea of these things. I mean, one of the things we know is that the same set of people that have lived on this earth are going to be resurrected. Some to separation from the love and goodness and glory of God, and some to being united to the love, the goodness, and the glory of God, but also to those that we have relationships with in this life. I mean, that's part of the deal. We're going to spend an eternity with other people. And just as we get to know the Lord more and more, we're going to get to know other people more and more. And that is not in distinction from this earth, because the same people that inhabited this earth as believers are going to inhabit eternal life as believers. And then I pointed out that I also wrote about this in a book in further detail. The book is called Afterlife. And you can find that book on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bill in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Bill is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bill.
Hey. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. A wife belongs to her husband instead of to herself, and a husband belongs to his wife instead of to himself. So don't refuse sex to each other unless you agree not to have sex for a little while. Is that not similar to what the Quran is saying?
Well, I quoted the Quran, and I don't know how you can possibly make a parallel between the Quran and what the Bible is saying here, but let me explicate what the Bible is saying. The husband is called to fulfill his wife in a biblical worldview, which means to understand her needs and to fill those needs, to esteem her satisfaction in the text as greater than his own, to love his wife as he loves his own body. After all, no one, we're told in Ephesians chapter 5, I think, ever hated his own body, but feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. A wife, likewise, is to fulfill the needs of her husband. And so the text tells us in the passage that you're talking about, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Thomas Aquinas said something pretty cool about this. He said, the man should give to his wife her conjugal rights, namely with his own body through carnal union, and likewise the wife to her husband, because in this matter they are judged equal. And that's the point that I was making with respect to the Quran. The Quran does not enshrine equality for men and women. Women are considered not the equal of men. And that is enshrined not only in the Quran, but in Sharia as well. By the way, as Thomas Aquinas went on to say, the woman was not formed from the feet of a man as a servant, nor from the head as lording it over her husband, but from the side as a companion. But in essence, to fail to meet the needs of the other is fraud, because one is taking away what belongs to the other. So the idea is that the man is supposed to treat his wife as better than he would treat his own body. So not to consider the wife's body as tilth, to be able to impose his will on her unless she is physically unable, but rather to consider her and cherish her in the utmost respect and dignity. And you can rape even those that your hand, your right hand, lays hold of, having to do with captives in Islam. So this is a far different proposition when you have complete inequality in one paradigm and equality in the other. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Corey in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Corey.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I have a comment and then a question. My comment is regarding the politics of America, and I listen all the time to many different sides, and I feel as though that there's kind of a disservice that's being done where I feel like we have subscribed to this notion that Christians are Republicans and Democrats are something in the middle. And I feel as though that goes away from the core of the teachings of Scripture, where I don't believe that Jesus is a Republican. And I don't think that he looks down on America as those who are Christians look at Republican values as the only way. And I think that the early
Well, church, you have to look at the values themselves apart from the party. I think that's absolutely right.
Well, I'm only saying that quickly because we have less than a minute right now,
just so, then we're going to be gone. So you got to make your point quickly or your question.
Yeah, so I just feel as though we need to look at men and women, and I feel like the party is being marginalized. I feel like America is being marginalized by not subscribing to the notion that everyone needs to be looked at by the fruit. We need to look at the fruits.
Absolutely. I think you need to, you have to look at all these kinds of things. I can't answer a question now because we're simply out of time. I'm sorry. Maybe you can call me on tomorrow's broadcast. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You remember Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. My apologies to Corey. We'll be back tomorrow with more answers for your questions, and I do appreciate those that stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Without you, I couldn't do what I do. God bless you. Again, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. Today, the gay rights movement is no longer content with mere tolerance, but rather demands wholehearted affirmation or punishment for those who don't comply. Responding to this totalitarian agenda with gentleness requires an informed and caring approach. That's why Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, as our thanks for your gift of support in the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Just call 888-7000-CRI or write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or donate online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Black Hebrew Israelite movement has infiltrated black communities on the basis of two principal claims. First, all African Americans biologically descend from the ancient Hebrews. And second, the means of salvation for African Americans is obedience to the law of Moses. Their worldview, however, has no foundation in history or scripture. Other topics include doubt as virtue, how to doubt and have faith without exploding, Francis Schaeffer, pastor, evangelist, apologist, prophet, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement.
the gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org.